Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
It's not like Radiohead. It's not like, oh, fuck, I actually need to, like, you know, maybe consider killing myself now.
Yeah.
It's just like bitching enough to get some attention.
Yeah, it's like my dad didn't hug me enough.
And with that, welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 369, dude!
69, yes!
Ha!
Hey, what number am I thinking?
Saw, little homie. Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, for real, though?
It is, actually.
All right, dope. Yeah.
Tell him what your name is.
There's challenges. My name is Ree.
That is true. His name is Ree.
And we're going out of order, and I'll embrace that. I'll embrace the change. This is Ree.
Embrace the chaos.
And I am a huge proponent. Is that right? A proponent?
Depends on where you're going from.
I would like to encourage everyone to consider the validity of heterosexual butt fucking.
And normalizing it.
And normalizing it.
Ree just got to hear something
that part.
Literally nobody other than the two people in this room have heard before.
Yeah.
It's not true. The Patreon is a big fan of normalizing heterosexual.
No. I mean,
are we going to release it, you think?
To Patreon? Yeah. Yes. To the rest of the world? Probably not.
Okay.
Why not?
Yeah, because fuck them.
Okay.
Fuck them kids.
Why would we say fuck them kids?
Because you don't go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. You know, if you don't want to be among the ones that get fucked, or if you do want to be amongst the one gets fucked in like the good way, that was language in my mouth. Good. We found a lost episode that we're probably going to release from the beginning of the show. So that's super fun. We were going to record an episode on Zombievers, but that'll be next week. So that's a Patreon exclusive right there. Think we got some new homies?
We just got a returning homie.
We got a returning homie, so that's dope.
And the homie Cthulhu Christ.
Yeah, we got a couple Jacob people doing like the whole year thing, which is nice, you know, like month or the year or whatever. It's all good. If you want to give us a one-time lump sum, you can go ahead and do that. And also, for the first time in about 6 years, our king tier is open. So if you want to be the king of the Who Goes There podcast Patreon, you can go on over, give us $50 a month, and you'll get to pick one movie that we do for the show every month.
Keep in mind that King Sam never...
He never did.
Flexed his kingly.
His choice every month was, you guys do something that'll make you happy. And unfortunately, we let Rhett pick the movies and we were unhappy for several years.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Ever.
Yeah. And if you want to hear more dumb shit, go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast because there's a lot of it.
Jesus Christ.
Anyways, hi, I'm Maddie Ding Dong.
Hi, Maddie Ding Dong.
And this is Jorge. And that's George. What's up, everybody? How's it going?
Together, we've been doing this goddamn show for 9.5 years.
Is it 9.5? This is one of my favorite movies, 9.5 weeks.
Yeah, dude, 9.5 years.
It's been 4.5 for me, dude.
Oh, that's dope.
You ever seen that movie, 9.5 years of Who Goes There Podcast Slave?
Oh, Jesus.
I thought you were saying earlier you weren't going to release me talking about normalizing.
No, we are all for normalizing heterosexual butt fucking.
I get now that you're talking
that
about
is the
that
soapbox special lost we will episode. Die on.
Yeah, that's a good hill to
we're
die
gonna
on.
Die, we're going to die on a soapbox.
We're just going to die.
Yeah, on a box. We're going to stand on the box, and then the altitude will be too great that we will then die.
Anything of note that you'd like to share, Jorge?
Oh, we're doing the whole role reversal thing through and through.
I
huh?
like it.
I guess.
All
I
right, like I'm down.
Listening to that lost episode with me doing a lot more of the jaw flapping kind of stirred things up for everybody.
Boy, maybe Rhett got a little bit of like,
he's like, maybe I can steer.
I got a little more.
This is a skill anybody can fucking harness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, that?
Yeah.
You have to really be self-effacing though.
Yeah,
you have to lean into it.
Yeah, you do.
You have to let all vanity go.
I can't do that.
Do it.
I'm full of vanity.
Just do it.
Vanity is my superpower.
While railing against it.
Yeah. Make it as
bad. I thought you were going to say while railing Tinderella's, and I was like, that too.
God damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says
railing Tinderella.
As if he's all super stoked about it, but meanwhile, this motherfucker showed up like half dead today.
I do not have the vigor of the young man I once was.
Mm, that's right.
It's exhausting. Life is tiring.
Well, so you didn't even like it.
I liked it.
You were just trying to like prove it to yourself.
I just need some sleep. I'm gonna be up at 5 a.m. in the morning tomorrow, so it's
wake up in the morning.
Me too, man.
That's fucking dope.
I gotta drive my ass to 29 Palms tomorrow morning.
I gotta catch up on the workouts I haven't been doing for all the fucking cookies and ice cream.
You're waking up at 5 to work out?
Oh,
dang.
Bro, I'm off for 9 days. I'm supposed to be in Belgium, and instead I'm like here, and I'm like, oh god, I'm just gonna be busy.
Oh god,
I'm gonna be busy for 9 days.
That's because if he doesn't do that,
I will
die. Love himself.
I will implode.
You want to come over here and start digging a hole?
I'll dig your
motherfucker
hole.
Dig.
I've been digging your hole for
motherfucker
years.
Dig.
You could actually be productive, like a productive.
You guys should fucking
just like TLC
dig the hole together and put on dig on repeat. Just the whole fucking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we would have to switch between that and mud shovel.
Oh fuck!
Yeah,
ooh, mud shovel.
You know, because like
that's a heavy song,
bro. There would be mud on the shovel.
Take away.
I don't know the words good enough. I know there was like a two note bass riff.
Feel the same.
That's really good.
It's dope.
All these promises. You promised all in vain. If you take away,
I'm just gonna let him keep doing it.
And leave me with nothing again.
And then in the middle of the song, it's like mud shovel.
He actually says mud shovel, which is crazy.
Like, what is,
someone
what
told
is
him
that?
Like, hey, dude, you need to get hard in the middle here. Okay, mud shovel.
They're like, what's a mud shovel? He's like, I don't know.
It's a shovel with
just,
mud on it.
It just sounded cool.
Maybe he's like, I bury you, dude. Maybe he means like, maybe he means
the shovel you use on the puddle of mud, dude.
Maybe he means like, dude, like digging a like mud is like useless because you can never
or
actually
maybe,
dig the hole.
Maybe it's a song
filling in.
About, I think you're giving way too much credit.
Maybe it's a song about normalizing hetero butt fucking.
I actually like
mud
the mud is poo and
it's
the
like
shovel
Steve
is his dick
and mud yeah. shovel.
I yeah. actually squeezed the tear out while I did that fucking singing, dude. That's wild.
Stink shovel, ew.
Did you watch anything dope?
I did, and it's on brand, and it's seasonal, it's festive.
It's spoopy season, it dude.
Well, they did a trick-or-treat theatrical release, the first one ever.
Twick-a-tweet.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It was your first time seeing it, right?
Yes, 2007 it came out for, nobody doesn't know that probably, but I had never seen...
Doesn't. So everybody knows it. Okay.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
But I had never seen this movie. I'd always heard about it, and the theater was pretty packed. So it was like, it's cool that it's gotten up to that level of being just a Halloween staple. I like calling it a staple. Like Hocus Pocus is a Halloween staple. It makes me want to fucking off
makes
myself.
Makes me want to push my fingers into my eyes.
No, the first one's fucking chilly. Goes, I push my finger into my eyes. It's the only thing that slows my cock. Okay, anyways.
I kind of like that song.
It's actually
really I actually good. Legitimately like that song. But, and I legitimately like this movie. And... Hi, Sophia went
Hi,
with me.
Hi, Sophia.
And we had a great fucking time, and we loved the movie, and we're like, how much better is this than, say, Halloween Ends? Oh, wait, we haven't done that episode yet. But fucking dude.
No, we have.
Oh, well, yeah, we have, but they haven't heard it yet. No, that's they have. True. No,
well, they will have they by will the have. Time this comes
oh,
out.
Oh, I like that. Damn, that's fucking time travel.
Yeah, right?
Oh! I'm glad that Matt's the stoner here. That's good. That fucking confused the fuck out of me, dude. You
went full they haven't.
Christopher Nolan relativity of time right now.
Wait, no, you gotta go full Christopher Nolan relativity of time.
The movie was really cool, and I love the idea
in it
that Sam is like the enforcer of Halloween rules, because she's like, why did she kill this chick? And I'm like, well, because she's fucking not respecting the traditions of Halloween, you know? And that was it. And, like, it has this cool narrative.
They say fuck the sun?
We say fuck the sun.
Yeah, and they have this, it has this cool narrative structure where it's not, like, overly complicated, but it's kind of out of order, so it keeps it engaging. And then, like, all the cast is super into it. The kills are fun. He's up that, like, pumpkin face-looking family, which is dope. I mean, let's add them up, right? You got the fucking pumpkin fucker from the real Ghostbusters cartoon, Sam Hain.
Pumpkin fuckers.
Right? You got Return to Oz of the pumpkin fucker, Jack, and that. Right?
There's the headless pumpkin fucker.
The headless pumpkin fucker. Pumpkin.
Pumpkin. There's a.
Pumpkin fucker.
There's Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin Fucker.
You've got. And then I know. You've got
Jack Skellington pumpkin fucker.
I know he's not. Exactly. He's not a pumpkin head, but he's in the family. Jack Skellington is in that family with Sam. And
you've also got pumpkin head.
We went to the Halloween store after this.
The original pumpkin.
So we did the whole thing, and I'm pleased to tell you, a onesie.
You got a costume?
A onesie Sam costume.
Hell yeah.
I got his little fucking
sucker. I didn't know they made Sam costumes that fucking big.
They do.
Dude, so I went to the Spirit store for the first time this year today, and I got the candy bar razor blade.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't realize.
See, I need that.
I didn't. It was only $10. I didn't even realize they made that. I'm like, yo, that's, even if it's not for a costume, like that right there. If you want to borrow it for a costume, you can borrow it.
I have to somehow figure out a Hagrid costume.
Hagrid?
Yeah.
You're not tall enough.
Well, obviously. Neither are you.
I mean, I'm taller than you, dude.
He's 8 feet tall.
Yeah, but like compared to you, I'm 8 feet tall.
I got his sack, which it sounds like he's got a cat in when they first introduce him, which is a dope little detail. I got like a freaking better version of the mask because I really wanted to invest in this. And it was cool. And then they also did a 30th anniversary showing of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Bram.
And it's Keanu Reeves' best screen acting.
Hands down.
Bram.
No, his accent, and it's just wildly miscast, obviously, and it almost undermines the entire film.
Isn't that wild? Like, the movie is so good that even Keanu Reeves can't sink that ship, but he almost does.
He can't even sink certain
scenes. He tries.
He can't even sink. And here's the thing, listeners. I love Keanu Reeves, but it had not been shown what his strengths.
He hadn't gone through the Keanu-sance yet.
Right, we hadn't gone through the Keanu-sance. I think he had done Point Break, where it was shown that he could be a good atypical action star, but then Speed hadn't happened in The Matrix, and of course John Wick later, and very likable guy, but dramatic acting and accents, not for him. But that movie, fucking on a big screen, dude, like that art direction.
Yeah, dude.
And the costume design, and
And the nipple sucking.
The nipple sucking. Yes. And Gary fucking Oldman, obviously. It's pretty good.
So speaking of Gary Oldman, I watched Hannibal the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not a good movie. Like, Julianne Moore in this film as Clarice Starling is the worst. She fucking sucks in this movie. But Gary Oldman is putting on a fucking clinic in this film.
Yeah, in the wheelchair.
Which is a total waste, because it's like, Dr. Lecter? And it's like, bro, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Dr. Lecter?
Yeah, dude, it's so bad.
She's. I can't say that. Never mind. I'm not going to say that.
You can say it.
She's Korean? No, never mind. Okay. You got to take that out.
Dr. Lecter. You're up to be the doctor.
We watched some stuff at home. We watched, she'd never seen Fright Night. And so we watched that. And I'm a big fan of the 1985 Fright Night.
It's good.
And the remake wasn't bad. And it was fun.
Really?
The remake wasn't bad with Colin Farrell.
Really?
And Anton Yelchin.
Really?
Really? One of the better fucking horror remakes. I mean, it's not great, but it's not bad.
Really?
You haven't seen it?
Really?
Yeah, did you see it? Are you disagreeing with me?
I'm just saying, really, because I didn't even know there was a, first off that there was a film. Yeah. Second off that it was like half decent.
It was okay. I think it's like 8 years ago. It was fine.
Damn.
I don't think it needed to be remade, but
all of a sudden he's backpedaling, you know?
He's like, huh.
Well, I'm like, you know, I'm all, gotcha. Hey, gotcha. Shit, don't hold me to this, you know? It's been a while.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Ooh, dude, Stain just fucking eating all over this episode.
And then the mud shovel, that's been a while.
Oh, the 101 Scariest Movie Moments thing on Shudder.
On the
It's pretty fun.
Okay. Oh, you get to see Gigi Salguero be annoying in it? That's cool.
You get to see her. You get to see that fucking dude. What's, God damn it, that long-haired fuck who wrote Hocus Pocus. And
Garris.
Yes.
He should...
And you know what? He seems like such a nice dude.
He needs to have a book strapped to his head and then be suplexed on top of it so he learns not to make more Hocus Pocus.
Well, and they've got Fede on there. Your homie Fede.
Fede?
That's your homie, dude.
You know what? I mean, I like him more after seeing him. And
he did make
him
a movie that's better than Mandy, though.
Stop it. He's my homie. He's my homie up to a point.
Up to the point where he made a movie that was better than Mandy.
And I'm glad you started to unpack that.
And then best friends, we are not.
Yeah.
No. You cannot be. As long as, you know, you don't breathe too, no.
You know, speaking about people that you were on good terms with that you no longer get along with now. Producer. I was very sad about Moose Jaws today. I was watching Zombievers and I was like, I'm never going to get Moose Jaws, and that makes me sad.
Who do I not get along with?
Kevin Smith.
Oh, I'm sure he's a perfectly personable person, but he should stop
perfectly personable person.
You like that?
You know, he was in Hillcrest recently.
He should stop making films, like,
he was
forever.
Photographed at my Ralph's.
I'm going to watch Clerks 3 only because it's a prerequisite of, you know, a millennial of that era. But
once he gets his head out of his anus and makes Moose Jaws, I will see that.
No,
he's actually making Tusk 2.
No.
I know how much you love that.
That's a mistake.
What? Are you going to veto it?
That's a mistake. No, I'll watch it, dude. Are you fucking nuts?
Yeah.
The only person on this show who's ever vetoed a movie is sitting across from me.
I haven't. Brett hasn't vetoed anything.
You're sitting across from
you,
me.
You, motherfucker.
We
did this online.
I've not actually vetoed anything because we didn't have to veto that. You decided not to do it, so I never had to come down with
the
veto.
Dude, it's even in writing. You're like, the only thing I ever vetoed was this.
The veto never went through, so technically I was prepared
to.
You
vetoed it.
I was prepared to. I didn't have to, though.
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant. No. Yeah, you're an irrelevant.
No. Yeah. The other thing, and the last thing is Cabinet of Curiosities.
I want to watch it.
Dude, okay, so Guillermo del Toro has this anthology series.
Yes.
And, okay, so the production values on this
is obviously
are insanely high for a horror anthology series.
Yeah.
So even when the premise or
because
even
it's
like,
del Toro.
Yeah, even when like the episode is okay idea-wise, the execution with the fucking production value goes a long way.
I'm full in.
Right? And so, and he's got a different director for each episode. I got up to episode 3 last night, and it was directed by the guy who did The Empty Man, which I don't think any of us have watched yet.
No.
But dude, the first hour of that one, for example, was this, not, excuse me, not first hour. First half of that was like this slow burn thing, and then the second half, it goes full fucking tilt, like sci-fi horror. Oh!
Dope.
And then, speaking of Mandy, which is a superior film to the Fede Alvarez film, Don't Breathe.
Not true.
Absolutely.
Unequivocally, mathematically.
Panos Cosmatos does the last episode, which is not out yet. And that's supposed to be, you know, big surprise.
Oh, dude, I got medication for my Panos Cosmatos, actually.
Did it clear up?
Antibiotic, yeah. Yeah. They
Panos chlamydia.
They took care of it.
And, yeah, I'm 3 episodes in.
Stupid
joke. It's fucking dumb.
All right, I'm in.
It's a good Halloween watch for sure. And what else? We got that's pretty good.
You watched Hell House LLC, which has some sheen.
Yeah, I had a date and the girl I was with wanted to watch something spooky, and so I put on Terrified, and that still holds up. And she's like, "Yeah, I was scared, but I could be more terrified." And I'm like, okay, you know, let's do Hell House, because I know it's very atmospheric. It's got some tension. You and I have watched it several times since we first watched it, which for me to repeat watch anything is rare. So putting that on, I was expecting it to be real good, and I was just kind of fucking like, shut up.
Wow.
Just shut up and get on with it.
That's fucking great. Now I know I'll love it.
It's, I mean, well, it's found footage, so for you, it's already...
You've gone full circle without ever having watched the film. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I like it.
I've gone all over the place with you guys with this movie that I haven't watched.
Yeah, I mean, I recommend it. Like, I think it's pretty good. Okay, so.
Cool.
Yeah. And then a lot of great British Bake Off.
It's good. Let's see. We finished House of the Dragon, which is, I'll say it again, was a decent first season of that show. We started the new American Horror Story season. It's super gay, and I don't mean that in any.
They do a lot of docking.
They actually deal with like the homophobia and all of that.
Like
nonsense.
They normalize homosexual butt fucking.
Yep.
They don't. Unfortunately, it's not normalized in this because it's like the early, late 80s, early 90s.
They're showing how they it was not normalized.
Yeah. And so it has a lot to do with like, you know, with the.
We should normalize shows that are showing that wasn't normalized. Damn.
We're starting to get into some weird
the
shit.
Gray
there.
Area?
Yeah.
Some Jordan Peterson shit right there?
That's some good Patreon content right there.
But I don't know if the show's good yet. It's like two episodes in, and I know I should probably have a good opinion on it. But it's a little bit.
It's not good.
Well, no, because like there's some pretty competent acting going on, and the atmosphere of the show is pretty oppressive, which is like what I kind of want from.
He's talking about Walking Dead again.
But they haven't done too much yet. It's mostly just like a gumshoe.
Oh, imagine that. American Horror Story goes several episodes without doing something.
But no. What I mean
11
is that, like,
seasons.
What I mean is that, like
three
normally,
of them are good.
Like, normally we would have Lady Gaga fucking killing somebody on a bed.
But she'd be like killing them while she's fucking them, and that's dope.
That was dope. I don't know about the show yet. I'll know soon enough.
Well, this episode will be out after that point, but are you guys doing anything special for Halloween?
We are going to my brother-in-law's house, Boo, for trick-or-treating because his neighborhood is super cool for that kind of shit, but otherwise, nothing.
We're going to be handing out candy in our costumes. She's dressing up as Bride of Frankenstein.
Typical.
And we want to go somewhere. She was going to go to a friend's... Halloween party, but now she's not. She's feeling kind of socially drained, which I understand.
Yeah.
So we want to do something, but
her clit socially has been rubbed too raw. Mm.
His face.
Can you please mention that kind of stuff every episode?
Yeah.
You know what? Bonnie is a pretty lady, Jorge. You know what I mean? Your wife is.
You know what I mean?
I'm just. Sitting back, watching where this is going.
I don't mean her popcorn. Literal. I don't mean her literal clit. I mean, like, you know, because I've got a clit that gets rubbed raw sometimes.
Yeah, she's such a good sport. She's gonna be like, honey.
Yeah,
she'll be a little embarrassed, but it'll be all right.
About rubbing what? Her clit raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About chafed clitoris.
Yeah. Mm. No, I mean, I have said it many a time.
I usually just say, I get very graphic on Patreon content, so.
I know.
I got nowhere to go.
Well, that's not what this is.
Yeah, that's not what this is. So I'm a good boy who does nothing.
That's true. The Who Goes Her Podcast watched a little film called Terrifier 2. 2022 is Terrifier 2. Directed by Damien Leone, starring David Howard Thornton as Art the Clown, Jenna Connell as Tara Hayes, Lauren Lavera as Sienna, Catherine Corcoran, Samantha Scafidi, Kaylee Hyman. No, that's not her real fucking last
name.
Damn,
that's tragic.
No way. Sister, change that
shit. What's wrong with the Hyman?
It's not there. It's been busted.
That's confrontational.
Katie McGuire, Felissa Rose.
Get her out of here.
Get her out of here.
Get it out of here. God. Seeing that.
Musical callbacks ever.
Seeing her pop up, all I could do was think of George the whole time. I'm like, how do these people that were in one movie that wasn't even that good get steady work for the next 40 years? And so it's it's Felisa Rose.
The moment she popped up on screen, dude, I wanted to be that dude, but I was sitting next to a fucking guy who would not shut the fuck up.
Like, dude. Oh, hell no.
Every 2 minutes, anytime Art did something, oh, hell nah.
Okay.
And the first moment that Art shows up on screen, he goes, uh-oh, uh-oh.
And dude. You're like, yeah, that's okay,
Before we even get into the review, I've seen this movie twice, and something about this type of movie makes people feel like it's okay to talk through the whole fucking thing. So many, like, just two dudes together, and they're talking through the whole movie.
Because it's like watching a porn and they're just waiting for the kills.
I think because it's supposed to be fucked up, they feel like, oh, okay, well, nobody's really paying attention, so we can talk through it. Or since it's fucked up, like, people are going with their guy friends and then like, oh, in order to make it not gay, we have to talk through the whole thing.
So, Matt.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Terrifier 2?
It's fucking delightful. I love it. It's the most wonderful movie I've seen all year. It does not need to be 2.5 hours. It does not. The plot is fucking paper thin, if there is one. It's fucking stupid. But like, all I need, this is a slasher for people who like slashers, and that's it. That's all it is. And
it that isn't it though. You just said it need to be 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it does not need to be 2.5 hours.
That is not a slasher for people who like slashers.
It is.
That's because, an hour and a half.
Because for me, it does not feel like 2 hours.
Okay, and, I'm gonna get there, but and it's still
la 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 la. La 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 love this film. Do 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 do. No, I love it. I love it.
Commercial.
It didn't give me a whole lot of bullshit. It was a lot of death. It was a lot of violent death. And could they have cut 45 minutes out of this fucking movie? Absolutely. But It did not feel like 2.5 hours to me. And I had a lot of fun with it. I saw it twice. I do think, as Rhett said, it's probably the most gory movie I've seen in theaters. And I look forward to seeing more gory and unrated things.
On the note of like not feeling the 2.5 hours of this film, I strongly disagree. I felt every moment of this movie, every fucking minute.
And you loved it.
As it's ticking by, I'm like, okay, it's we're doing art stuff. It's Art the Clown, and we got dream sequences, and it's super violent. So I don't know how to feel about this movie, dude. I don't dislike it, but I also I'm left sort of nonplussed about everything. The story with these siblings is like, what?
Yeah.
The her and her friends is like, what? What the fuck? The kills, I love them.
So good.
Especially the first homegirl who gets like just obliterated, and Art just really digs in.
Oh yeah, the bedroom scene, and
metaphorically. It's a fun scene, but ultimately, I'm sitting there and I go, "You could have done this in 30 minutes. It's far too long. It is far too long." And the stuff that starts to deal with like fantasy aspects and psychic powers and otherworldly stuff going on, it either misses the mark or doesn't get dealt with enough. So I'm like a straight up 50-50 on this movie.
Okay.
The stuff that I like, I'm really into. The stuff that's bad is garbage. Mm. And I'm not quite sure where all of the positive, like, everybody's losing their minds about this movie. And I'm just like, yeah, it's a movie. that's got actors in it, and wow, there's some cool wow kills. Wow. Wow. So, anywho.
Hello.
Hi, Ree.
This is Ree.
Hello.
I actually, honestly, really enjoyed the movie, generally speaking.
Psych.
Psych. No, yeah, I did. I, psych to the psych. That was double, that I didn't do.
Double psych to the double, psych.
Yeah, reverse psych. And I was really hit. The 2.5 hour runtime we started hearing about, I'm like, why the fuck?
Pero por qué?
Why? And then, honestly, though, watching the movie, and I talked to Matt about this, I didn't mind the runtime, generally speaking. Do I think it could be shorter? Do I think it could be 45 minutes shorter?
Yeah.
Yeah. However, like, the human interactions between the kills, I thought struck a perfect, not a perfect, but almost just the right balance of being goofy slasher movie on purpose, because it clearly is not trying. But also, like, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of what would be filler, but it was like, it felt a mixture of natural enough and forced enough that would, like, struck a pretty good thing with me. Like, and then when you're talking about the sibling stuff, the brother's goofy ass long neck, I love
it. Oh my God, dude. And the way he runs.
And he runs like that.
He runs so stupid. I'm just like,
this whole thing is fucking funny.
Why his legs do that?
Yeah.
Dude, why it wasn't his neck do, though? It was like his arms. He runs like this.
What's that neck do?
And then let's get serious. The lady, the main final girl thing, she's sexy. Right?
She can get it.
Right? I think, and she's not perfect, but she's sexy.
I don't know why her dad was drawing her all sexy.
Well,
that's weird.
That was weird, you know. Now, the biggest issue with me to this, obviously the kills were fucking, they were amazing. Also, the comedic timing, like in the Halloween store and all that shit, that's like classic fucking Buster Keaton comedic timing
stuff. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's really good.
Dude, see, and that's my favorite thing about the Terrifier films is just the comedy of it and, like, how much sick pleasure art seems to get from everything.
Yeah.
Even just, like, when he's in the Halloween store where he's tormenting that girl, where he, like, tiptoes over like Jim Carrey and he's got the horn and he, like, raises it real slow and, like, she's so tense and she's like, please don't. And then he just honks it all loud. Like, yeah. That shit's great when he's laughing at, like, all of the pain he's inflicting.
Well, they have a clear understanding of what horror and comedy, I think, have in common, which is that tension release thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's evident in scenes like the Halloween store, right? Which is why I really appreciate that stuff. There's stuff where I'm really mixed on is, like, the dream sequence. I love the idea that they went into this kind of surreal thing. And, like, at first I'm like, is this going to work? And honestly, when they sing the song, I'm in the theater, like, cringing my ass off. I'm like, damn, I can't fucking believe this scene right now. But then, like, the dude's on fire, and then there's, like, a fucking
shooting. It almost goes, like, 10 beats too far.
Bro, like, and that girl looked like Selena, too.
Well, it kind of feels like almost every sequence in the movie could be edited. It's not that they could take 45 minutes out. It's that they could take every scene could be about 15 seconds less.
Yeah.
Like, well, almost and then the you whole get the time. Scene
like where she's at the club. That could have been completely cut.
Speaking of the scene at the club, though, it was fucking dip because they had fucking the track "Pain" by Boy Harsher. I'm in the theater like, ah!
It's like, dude, Boy Harsher doing things right now.
They're in Halloween Ends in and
weird,
Terrifier
in weird too. Ass movies.
Hell yeah. Yeah, like, you belong in the horror movies. I wish they had really made that a dope-ass dad sequence, though. Dance sequence. Okay. Anyway, the fucking kills, particularly, obviously, we will get specific, the one at the house, and then the one later on at the abandoned amusement park. Oh, that shit is fucking amazing. Now, the stuff, like I said, with the dream sequence, when it goes back to this surreal vibe, I'm actually fucking okay with it because I like what it's setting up until the end where it shows, like, the tag at the end. Because now Terrifier movies exist in this realm where you can't really tell how crazy it's going to get.
Yeah.
Right. It's not just the violence. It's like there's this could go right off the rails into surrealism.
Like, there's definitely, like, supernatural shit going on.
Also, on that note.
And the little girl.
What? Because the first time I watched this movie, I walked in during the dream sequence. Because apparently Reading Theaters doesn't show trailers. So I showed up 25 minutes late and I missed 25 minutes of the movie. But as I'm walking in during the dream sequence, she's, like, falling asleep, and I'm like, okay, this could be the start of the movie. Like, art gets introduced in the dream. No, like I missed two great kills, and I missed the introduction of this little girl.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So it's interesting because
isn't she one of the victims?
That's what they're saying. She was slain at some point.
Yeah. But like, I get the idea that she's like a metaphor for like PTSD or something, because I know it's fucking weird, but like, so hear me out. So like, Art sees her, and you get shown very early on that like she's not there. Art is hallucinating that she's there.
Either that, or people can't see her.
Well, so Art sees her, but like when he's in the laundromat, nobody else sees her. But the main girl can see her.
Yeah.
The kid can see her. And there's reference to like their dad killing himself and he was seeing things.
So it's Smile.
So it's like, but that's the thing. Is this little girl like, because I get you get this indication that the little boy throughout the whole thing is kind of fucked in the head. Like he's a Jeffrey Dahmer in training. So the whole PTSD thing, like, I don't know if this little clown girl appears to people
if you're on a certain frequency and if you've been exposed to certain shit, you're able to perceive
the That's girl. What I'm kind of saying. Like, she's kind of like, you only see her if you're going to go crazy or if you have the capability of murdering.
I was reading some theories that, like, she is sort of like the quote-unquote demonic entity that's like, inside of Art.
Yeah, so, especially with the post-credit scene, which, I mean, we'll get to, but, like...
Yeah, I don't know about the specifics. I know that she was like, because we don't know literally yet. They're beginning to introduce these things, right? And they probably want to spur fan theories and internet talk, and that's been successful.
Well, the only way that this film franchise,
hey, motherfucker,
sorry.
No, but I think she. Nah. I think she was very effective, though, regardless of what the fuck exactly she is. I don't know. Maybe it's suggesting too, like when Art kills someone. Does he like have control over the person as like a spirit essence or something? Like, I don't know. Why would it be this girl?
I almost got the idea that like this is sort of like the sorry, I mean, this is a dumb thing to say, but like the broken part of his brain that creates...
It's his anima, dude.
Well, I mean, he's literally got the back of his head busted open too and his brain exposed.
And so like, it just tells me that like, you know, Art is essentially like a psychic, not a psychic person, but like a person that delves in that realm where it's like he's projecting these things to the people that he's terrorizing.
So what you're saying is he's... done a full 180 crazy.
So he can actually cause cognitive distortion shit to happen in people he's affected to.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Because like when you're first introduced to that girl and she, because the girl's got to be what, 12?
I like that idea. That's a good idea.
That's kind of what I,
just going to slash you. You're going to have cognitive distortions just like him.
Oh, yeah. No, but it's good though, because he terrorizes people. And I love that. Like, one of my favorite scenes. I mean, okay, so like obviously we're gonna talk about the bedroom scene because that's one of the most like heavy scenes in the entire movie. But I think that really captures what feels special about Terrifier. And it's like, so Art brutalizes this woman in like one of the most insane, like not just kills, but like torture scenes you've ever seen.
Like he leaves and then he comes back in with the salt.
That exactly. So he leaves and you kind of get this feeling like, okay, like he's just leaving her to die now for some reason. And she's crawling, like trying to save herself. And then he comes in with bleach and salt and just like viciously rubs it all over her. And it's like, he takes such joy in that. Yeah. That it's just like, you don't see that level of depravity. And I really... love that.
I'm actually surprised. I was in the theater that I was in last night was 95% full.
Oh yeah.
On a Wednesday night. Holy shit, on a Wednesday night at 8:45. And sure. I was kind of like, dude, these are like for the most part people that aren't super into horror from what I can tell. Especially motherfucker sitting next to me.
Oh hell no!
Yeah, he had just seen Halloween Ends last week. He's like, wait a minute.
I mean, the fact that this movie is drawing in a general audience is kind of wild to think about. And then that it continues to pull in a general audience week over week.
Yeah, we've with our Patreon, some of our Patreon Discord and stuff, and we've explored this at length, and some people have been overzealous about their involvement and their praise. That was a diplomatic way of saying it.
Some people.
But
absolute crazy bastards.
You buy chicken wings and say more blood than you get a
credit. Or, you know, you kickstart to something.
Anyway, no, but besides that, no, it is extremely, like, the fact that it has no major distributor. I mean, I know Bloody Disgusting, but that's not, you know, we're not talking about fucking Blumhouse or Universal here, or even Lionsgate or A24 or anything on that level, and that it is an unrated film. That's actually, to me, that's the biggest kind of potential game changer, because also it's time for this MPAA thing to go bye-bye.
Yeah,
it's been time. Like, we have streaming services. It's fucking useless. So it doesn't make sense that the movies would have to go through this fucking filter at this point, because people are streaming shit anyway.
Yeah.
And I mean, what rating is a fucking show on Netflix? You know what I mean? What rating is House of the Dragon?
I mean, I get the only thing that I think a rating system helps with is, like,
keeping children away from stuff.
Yeah, like, if I'm
going to... Yeah, but not when they're streaming everything.
If I'm going to accidentally take my kids...
And pornhubs on the internet. Like, they have phones.
I think...
It's over.
I think there needs to be, like, a suitable for children, a not suitable for children. Like, PG-13 is pretty good. It's like, if you're 13, you can probably
handle not have shit. A stranglehold by the MPAA. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, either way, regardless of people's thoughts on that.
I don't want to accidentally take my kids to fucking Terrifier is what I would tell you.
You would know not to do that without the MPAA, obviously, because this didn't even go through the MPAA.
I would. But yeah. I think, like, you know, like, somebody who's, like, you know, has seen...
Speaking of which, when I saw fucking Trick or Treat,
guess what? If you don't want to do the fucking work, don't have the fucking kids.
Well, okay, too late, Matt. Some people don't want to do the work. They have the kids, and then they fuck the kids.
You can still do...
You know what I'm saying? So,
fuck them kids.
Much shit worse shit happens. They beat the kids. They kill the kids. They leave them in a fucking dumpster. So they're definitely going to take them to a movie regardless of the fucking MPAA.
And in my instance, you make your kid brush his teeth twice. He gets all upset.
And in my opinion, you fucking let him meet Art the Clown and fucking let him sort everything out.
There you go. Yeah. Trick or treat.
What the fuck was I going to say?
This lady
brought in a whole row of fucking kids. And
to trick or treat?
Yeah. When Sam started going off, she took them all out. And I'm like, because this is an example of what, but the MPAA, it didn't help her to know that this film was R, because she's like, oh, it's Trick or Treat.
It's called Trick or Treat. And look how cute that little guy with the sucker is. Like,
that's right.
What do you think this shit is?
Once the guy started fucking killing a kid, or no, like he has his son. And they've got a fucking the head of a kid on a platter and shit like
carve
that.
Carve his fat ass like a pumpkin.
She's like, it's time to get the kids out of here.
Listen, children, we gotta go.
Okay, so when you guys watched Terrifier, did you see any instance where anybody would have fainted or vomited? Granted, some of the kills are, like, very brutal. And if you're a normie and you don't know what you're getting into, I can see where people would possibly walk out.
I could see walk out, but dude, all of this throwing up, fainting stuff, it's got to go. It's
get him out of here. No,
truthfully, and to the end of time, please get that stuff out of here, because it's garbage.
I think all that does is hurts your film ultimately when it's, like, promoted as, like, oh, people are fainting and puking, and then you go in expecting it and it's like, oh.
I think it's probably very good viral marketing.
Of course.
It's nothing new, but I mean,
I think if people were passed out, it's only because the movie is 2.5 hours long.
And they fell asleep.
Yeah, they're starting it at 9:30. It's like, oh, he passed out. No, motherfucker, he fell asleep
because this shit's
almost 3 hours long.
So, like, well, and that's so okay. So that whole rave scene, like that rave scene, was like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
easily that could have all been cut, because, like, nothing of substance. The mom was killed.
The boy harsher song, but the mom
was killed during that time, which I think was an homage to Maniac. Like the shotgun scene.
There is, I will say this. I think that these filmmakers are hyper aware of like this thing is of a love is a this thing is a love letter to, you know, like slashers and
well horror, there was a scene,
you
know, that felt
very
like
self-conscious slasher movie.
There was a scene that felt like it was straight out of Hellraiser, the original one, where it wrote "I am in hell" in the blood, like the bathroom scene where Art comes in and he murders the girl at the carnival. Mm-hmm. That felt like the bathroom scene in Hellraiser where the person is skinned and they write like I'm in hell
or even just that set piece kind of looked like Saw to me a little bit.
I think it wears its influences on its sleeve.
Yeah, and it's very obvious about it because like some motherfucker walks in with a movie's fucking shirt and I'm like, oh, okay, this is a filmmaker's ass film.
Yeah. What did you think of the dream sequence in particular, Jorge?
I thought it was well done.
Yeah.
I like it, but I don't know. It A goes far too long.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah. And B, a little bit misplaced in this film. Because like I was trying whatever.
Kind of kills the momentum a little
bit. It does a little bit, and I think that if I know that, you know, these filmmakers are looking ahead, right?
Yeah.
So the only way that Art works is if he's either supernatural or if he's just like a Michael Myers type thing.
Well, there's always ambiguity too. That's the thing about surrealism. The reason something's surreal is because it's not cut and dry.
Yeah.
You know? It's dream logic. And I think I kind of like that it started going there. There's not a lot of, even like Nightmare on Elm Street, it's like, well, he can cause cognitive distortions when they're asleep. This is just like, no, just by exposure to his fuckery, you start fucking seeing the little girl and shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see where that goes.
I like that they're delving more in that direction, but I just don't like the slapdash. They're like, everybody's psychic. The sister's psychic. The kid is psychic.
Well, that was a trash-ass, like, old trope thing, like, of the dad. Oh, and the dad preparing her, like, he had the picture of her with the costume on. But that's all, like, archetypal. Honestly, too, as obvious as it is, like, she's the feminine warrior goddess, right? Like Durga in Hinduism or, like, whatever. It's the feminine ideal fighting this fucking, this demonic... masculine mime clown.
It really reminded me of Signs in that aspect where like people where people were just kind of like psychic for no reason.
Okay.
Where
it's psychics
like,
and signs?
Did the whole swing away thing and the, you know, the like the mom having the, like when she's being crushed, when she gets crushed in the like between the car and the tree, she's like talking about like swing away and all this stuff, like the incidental psychic stuff.
Yeah.
I go, well, it's cute, but like what's the impetus to all this stuff? Is the dad like the source of it? Is the dad Art the clown?
They introduce all these stuff. You didn't get that? Like, no. I honestly thought...
No, I wasn't like... I'm not trying to figure it out.
Well, no, but like when they're talking...
Unfortunately, I am. That's
yeah. I wasn't even trying to figure it out, but it felt like those were the breadcrumbs they were leaving you, was that the dad was Art the clown. Because they start talking about like how the dad had all these like weird thoughts and he started seeing things and then he killed himself and he's got this book with all these sketches and there's a sketch of Art and he's got all these newspaper clippings of these murders that Art did. But like, so they really lead you down this path to think that the dad is Art the clown, but then there's no explanation whatsoever. The dad killed himself. That's it. The dad somehow saw that his daughter was going to be this warrior princess. The dad somehow found this magical sword, which, like, I love that one of the first things the daughter says about the sword is don't touch it, it's razor sharp, and then the rest of the movie they proceed to just rub their hands and face and shit all over the sword and nobody ever gets cut.
The sword is a symbol of the D.
Also, maybe. She got penetrated by it, and then the whole ending bit, like with the fucking the basement and the hellfire hole, and then her
and
being in the dunk
and she's
tank,
got the tendrils
and,
on her fucking
yeah,
leg.
What?
Like that's what I'm saying. Where it just leads into surrealism, and I know it sounds weird. I think it went on too long. I think most of scenes go on too long.
Yep.
Particularly that one. But I like the notion of it leaning into the surreal thing where you can't tell what's what. Is she dreaming this? Is she in the afterlife? Who fucking knows? But it goes, if cognitive distortion is going on, that's exactly why it's called cognitive distortion. So yeah. If they're trying to put you in the same situation, it's like, well, now you've been exposed, so you can't fucking now tell what's what. Now you're the one giving birth to fucking Art's head, bitch.
And we'll see. Okay, and as I was watching it, like, I'm watching it, and like, I'm enjoying how much pleasure Art takes in murdering people. And as I'm watching, I'm thinking, you know, I think part of this, like, him enjoying what he's doing to these people really leads to him feeling more human than somebody like a Michael Myers or a Jason. Okay. And I'm thinking,
calm down,
like,
Matt.
Wait, no. So I'm thinking, like, okay, he can just tank a bunch of damage. He's not supernatural. He's just a human that can, for some reason, maybe he's on PCP. But then,
yes, that's what it is.
But then you realize that, like, there is some really crazy supernatural shit.
Well, I mean, it's very clear because at some point he grows an eye back. Like,
yeah, like, right? At first I thought it was the fake eye, and like when he did the fake eye or the pulled out homeboy's eye, dude, I was dying. I missed that the first time.
The creativity, you know, there's one thing to be extreme with gore, but it's also creativity, right? Originality.
Yeah.
And I think this film, the filmmakers do understand that here, you know, as evidenced by the two sequences we talked about, but also the stuff with the mom. I thought the sequence with the mom was fucking pretty fucking good.
Also funny. Oh, yeah. Funny
very
as hell,
funny.
Dude.
Very mean spirited.
When she gets fucking blasted from the fucking car door, I'm like, that's the one time I was like, ha!
And the,
got her.
And the mashed potatoes. The mashed potato thing at the dinner table that's iconic immediately. Like shoving mashed potatoes into this open fucking hole in a face. That's pretty good. Then later on, I'm like, you know, I'm sitting there with Sophia and I'm seeing a boy get fucking lashed, like a child get, you know, flogged.
Yeah, with like a cat of nine tails or some
shit.
Yeah,
for like two or three minutes straight.
God, I loved that.
For like, 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm like, well, this is something I haven't seen before. Yeah,
dude, the level of brutality,
really,
even to
really
children.
Into it, man.
So I'm like, the novelty factor is off the charts here.
Dude,
like,
and then he's whipping that kid with the cat of nine tails, and then the main girl comes in. He's like, bitch, I'm going to whip you too. Yeah. How fucking dare you?
You want some? Come get some.
And it's gratifying, but then it is kind of like, I'm not saying it's examining, but it's like you feel even more like indignant, like, yeah, fucking whip him. And it's like, okay, this is the same. You're getting off on seeing him get fucked up because he was doing this. So,
which is what Art's doing. Art's getting off on it.
We're here watching this happen. What am I doing here in this theater watching this? You know what I mean?
And that's just more of what's so great, is because like they set up these scenes that it's impossible not to be amused by. Like after he blows up the mom's face and then he sits her at the table for like Thanksgiving dinner, and the kid comes in absolute horror, and then Art comes in an apron. He's ringing a bell and like dishing up food. He starts like cheersing with the wine.
Yeah.
And it's all like so funny and like off-putting. And then he just smashes mashed potatoes into the mom's like face hole.
Yeah.
Like
that's what I said like 3 minutes ago.
That's what I'm saying. It's the juxtaposition. It's like you can't find
it. That's it.
You can't like find it not charming.
I will.
And then it's juxtaposed with just absolute brutality.
I think you misused that word. I get what you mean by
charming.
It's fucking, it's iconic. It's a iconic slasher horror moment immediately, I'll say.
I will say this. I think that they have handled Art in such a way. They have handled Art the Clown in such a way that like, even when I feel like it should be over, like the joke should be over, that he's finding, you know, such pleasure in killing these people, it's never not funny. It always hits, because he's sitting there and he's like silently laughing to himself. Yes. And I go, dude, this is, I'm kind of cool with every time they do this.
But he sells it.
The motherfucker is put, like, he's doing it right.
They're doing it well. His physical acting is like second to none.
So it never fails to like to hit that funny man. Bone. And I'm sitting there and I go, how is this still funny? But it is. That's the fucked up thing.
Even when like the mom walks in on the bedroom and like Art's sitting there and he's just like carving at the girl's leg and then he just starts laughing, but it's like silent and it's like you feel like you should be laughing too because someone else is laughing, but you don't want to laugh. And then she does
the fucking death gasp. Oh, and it's so gnarly. Dude, what the fuck, it's, man?
That's the timing in the Terrifier movies is chef's kiss. You know, it's like I made the comment about the original where it's like the amount of tension when that woman's being chased through the warehouse and then like you get that brief moment where it lets off the tension and then Art's hand comes through with the horn and honks the horn. That's the thing I love about the Terrifier films is it builds up this just like uncomfortableness and then it just like completely obliterates it with something funny and then it's right back into
it. Let me say though, what if I told you that saying chef's kiss is on par with spooky season?
I would say, can you not?
Can you not say chef's kiss?
Hands down, my least favorite thing is this aping of the Mandy cheddar goblin thing. I'm not a fan of it.
You were pissed at that before the movie even came out. And that's fine. It didn't bother me.
But the cereal was part of the dream sequence. Was Cheddar Goblin part of a dream sequence or was that like an actual commercial?
Well, it has to do with cognitive distortion again. He's kind of lost it by that point.
Okay. Cheddar Goblin was not a real thing. His
trauma has warped his perception. He's like, Cheddar Goblin? Like, what the fuck's wrong with me? But he's like, this is how shit is now.
It's like when shit gets weird coming home from school and the kids are like, can we have Cheddar Goblin? And mom's like, we have Cheddar Goblin at home. And it's fucking Terrifier with the cereal.
That's why at the end of, I'm sorry, when we did the Mandy episode, you're all, why does he drive off and it looks like he's on fucking Saturn? I'm like, because he's fucking out there now. It's not like he's literally on Saturn. And
that's exactly why Don't Breathe is a better movie, because of dumb shit like that.
But you like Terrifier 2 and it's dumb shit like that.
You're unnecessary.
Yeah, you are.
True,
bitch.
But so is the actual idea of you. You know what I mean? In general. But nonetheless, the universal I, likes to engage in all the multiple yous that it experiences subjectively.
Everything, everywhere, all at once.
I still haven't seen that movie.
That's a mistake.
It's been built up too much now. I've seen Terrifier twice now.
That's dope.
Terrifier 2, what else? What else can we unpack about this? I don't remember
Art eating people in the first one.
I don't think he's actually eating. I think he's doing a bit.
He pulls out that girl's heart and he starts eating her heart. He starts eating that kid's hand.
Yeah, but I think he's just doing a bit. I don't think that Art is like, because like the idea of Art being a cannibal, or because he may not even be human. Yeah. Like, it's just kind of silly.
Well, after the end of this movie, I don't think he's human. He's something. Also, when did he fuck that chick? Because like, when did he get to her? Because he had that moment where like him and the little girl are watching the TV where homegirl with the face is on the talk show.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, I guess like right after that, homegirl like rips the other girl's face off.
Yeah, the
so Art would have had to have squaxed like that night, because then the girl got locked into a mental institution.
Wait, hold up. Did I do the thing?
You must have.
Where I don't,
if you don't know what I'm talking
what
about,
what the hell you're talking about?
You didn't see the post credit scene?
Clearly not.
It wasn't even. It was like one of those they do the credits for 30 seconds and then show it.
You didn't see it in the hospital?
I didn't know there was a scene.
So, well, neither did we, but that's why you fucking stayed.
I started walking out of the theater.
The moment the credits start going, I run, dude, because I don't want to be... Excuse me. What?
Yeah, so what happens is... this is where... I didn't even know he was billed as being in the movie, but this is where Chris Jericho pops up.
Oh, God.
Oh, I did see him in the pre-credits.
So, yeah. Okay. He was in pre-credits?
Don't worry about it, Matt.
I didn't see Chris Jericho. So when I see Chris Jericho, I'm like, the fuck?
Where?
Chris Jericho's in this movie?
Was he in pre-credits?
Well, so, oh, you mean you saw his name? Got you.
Yes.
Well, I thought he meant he saw him.
They show a picture
that
of him.
That is to say he's
seen, like this.
He's kawaii. Seen him. Yeah, kawaii.
It's like a David Lynch dream sequence where it just shows Chris Jericho for no reason.
He just pops up and goes, ooh, woo, and disappears.
That would be cool.
Ooh, woo. Chris Jericho is like a fucking nurse or something. He's sitting
Notice at a, me, senpai.
He's sitting at a nurse's station with this woman, and then like the girl with the face is in this
without
is,
the,
a, is it a with, mental well,
without
institution
the fa- without the
it face. Looks like it's either a hospital or a mental institution.
Okay, so
I think it's a mental institution.
I think so, because I think there was padded walls.
It's a high like freaking level but, of care.
So the girl without a face, she's in this mental institution.
Monica Brown.
That's somebody goes without a face.
Somebody goes in to check on her, and like she freaks out, and there's fucking blood everywhere, and she's basically given birth to like Art's head with like a long, I don't know if it's a spinal column or like meant to be an umbilical cord or something, but she gives birth to Art's full-sized head, and it's like awake and like smiling and like blinking its eyes and shit. So Art somehow got his head in this woman's vagina, or he squaxed
vagine.
Or he squaxed her and got her pregnant with his head.
This is one of the best. That's why I said that earlier. Jorge's like, damn, Rhett came up with some weird shit. No, that happens in the movie. She gives birth to his head.
Yeah.
And so this is suggesting that, again, her exposure to him has either caused some level of cognitive distortion, or maybe the cognitive distortion is just further evidence of his metaphysical abilities.
Like, because did his head get like transmuted into her womb?
That's what I'm saying. I think you guys are trying to figure out stuff that if it ever does get explained, it's not being explained so far.
Well, even if they explain it, it's not going to be a good explanation, because this movie is dumb.
To be a good fucking.
No, I know.
He's a mime fucking clown, guys.
Well, and that girl that doesn't exist like took his head at the end.
Mute. Not a mime clown.
He is a mime, though.
He is a mime.
Is he a mime?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
He's literally a mime.
Does he mime?
Yes.
He mimes that dick. What?
He definitely mimes.
What do you mean?
Do you not know what a mime is, dude?
I didn't see him mime once.
Even his like color scheme.
He mimes the whole time.
That's why he's a mime.
That's how he got the job, too, was he was a mime.
That's why he's mute, because he's a mime. You went way around to fucking.
George is like, let me find all this substance in this movie, but overlook the fact that the main character is a fucking mime. You know what, dude?
Mime now means nothing to me anymore. I've said it too many times.
If you don't do the rope trick, you're not a mime. You're just a mute black and white clown.
Yeah. He wasn't in a box, though, dude.
He didn't do this.
Yeah.
Watch this. I'm thinking back.
I didn't notice him moving along the wall.
I'm thinking back, and I go, what mimey behavior did he have? I go, he's just laughing to himself most of
everything.
The time.
Everything.
The mute, clown, black and white part. That's all very mimey of him.
I mean, I guess, dude. I mean, I'm like, aren't all clowns kind of mute?
No. Bozo wasn't mute.
Bozo was a piece of shit.
Krusty the Clown wasn't mute.
He's fucking dope.
He is. I don't remember any other clowns. Ronald McDonald's not mute.
Pennywise definitely not mute.
Pennywise not mute.
Not a true clown, though.
Who?
Pennywise.
What about Ronald?
What do you mean he's not a true clown?
He's a demon.
Doesn't fucking matter. He appears as a clown.
Most clowns are demons.
It doesn't count.
Clowns are fucking demons themselves.
Mm.
You know, like
we're missing a few clowns.
I just kind of always like associate, like when thinking back as a child, I always associated clowns with like not speaking.
No, dude, what are you talking about?
Maybe this is my neurosis.
I mean, like Killer Clowns from Outer Space didn't speak, but that's because they were aliens.
Ooh, that's a good point. That's a pretty good point.
I mean, no. This is all me. This is all my own trauma.
This is the reason why we're here, dude, is to unpack whether Art's a clown or a mime.
Did you guys ever watch The Price is Right growing up?
He's not called Art the Mime.
You watched The Price is Right growing up. He said, of course. Okay, do you remember where they have the mountain climber bit?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's like, I think that shit like scared Tarzan. The fuck out of me when it was on TV.
Really?
Yeah, because I thought he was a clown. And my dad just, I remember him laugh. I was like 5 years old, and he thought it was hilarious that I would like freak out when that was on TV. And then he's like, ooh, wee, ooh, wee, ooh, wee, ooh, wee.
dude, that you remember that? That's some deep-seated shit.
It was. Oh, dude, you want to talk deep-seated? So
yes, please.
On the thing of clowns, my mom had this obsession with collecting porcelain hobo clowns. I don't know why, but she just loved fucking hobo clowns.
I've seen those. With their bindles,
sleeping on park benches and shit. I hated them as a kid. And growing up, maybe this is why I'm fat.
You're not fat.
Growing up, like, I would sneak down in the middle of the night and get like snacks out of the fridge, as kids are wont to do. And my fucking aunt hid one of these porcelain hobo clowns in the fridge. So like, I opened up the fridge and there's a fucking clown there. It scared the shit out of me as a kid. So that got me from going into the fridge at midnight, you know, probably associating trauma with food. So they overlap. And then they found out that I was super terrified of E.T., so they thought it was really fun to chase me around in an E.T. mask all the time.
Parents do be doing that to 80s kids.
They do that's just kind of shit.
That's just
true.
To think about that stuff and like... And
they thought it was just a good time.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah. Well, and then you see
we're going to get them. It's going to be funny. And I, like, now, like, having children, dude, I'm like, I would never.
When you see those people now, never. Like, there's a
difference
trouble.
Between giving a dog peanut butter and something like that. You know what I mean?
When you see those people now that are in trouble for, like, scaring the kids at the daycare with the scream mask.
That's
and it's too
fucking much.
Well, it's just because it's not their kid. Yeah. But it's like, if you do it to your own kid, it's like, ha, it's funny. Like, you're teaching them.
Okay. Well, did you know what's... You know what's fucking wild? So, like, Ronnie and I were talking about, like, starting to show the kids, like, scary movies. Because Micah's been kind of interested. He's like, oh, can I go watch a scary movie? I'm like, yeah. Like, we'll introduce you. And I go, well, we can show them Ghostbusters, but that opening scene, that's too much for them.
Show them Hocus Pocus, dude.
So, Ronnie and I, we start watching Ghostbusters, and I go, is that it? Holy shit. Like, I go, Micah can totally handle that. But in my head, I go, dude, yep. I was literally scared shitless of this scene. And it's totally innocuous, dude.
You got to start them young.
It's a movie for babies.
Yeah, I mean, like, I started Morgan with Friday the 13th movies when she was, like, 2. So she's kind of been...
We're doing it. We're doing Ghostbusters, Gremlins, the whole bit. I don't give a shit.
Dude, I have been on a real...
Right?
He's 9.
Oh, it's ready. Yeah, it's time.
He's ready.
That brain
is
ready.
It's time. Let me see.
The adrenochrome will pump.
Dog will
actually,
hunt.
I was about 9 or 10 when I saw Gremlins 2 in theater.
So, anywho, Terrifier 2.
I'm a fan.
You said it's the most delightful film you've seen all year.
It is. This is, for me, this is the most Matt movie I've seen all year. Even seeing movies like Mad Heidi and stuff, like, this was just like everything I wanted. I didn't really need to pay attention to a plot because it's very thin and inconsequential. These characters are all new characters as far as I can tell, like, they weren't in the original, and like, the kills are abundant and graphic and insanely violent, and I love it. It's the kills are so creative and there's so much blood. Even if a lot of the movie feels like almost like an anthology, like, it feels like each kill was kind of like written by a different person where it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to do this little scene with art here. Like,
that's what happens when you crowdsource a thing.
So that's what it felt like. So like, even, okay. So talking about the rave scene, when that guy came up and he goes, hey, can I get a selfie? Fuck yeah, girl. Like, I was like, I bet that guy kickstarted the movie. That feels like pay $1,000 and you'll get a speaking line in the movie.
Yeah, like I really enjoyed it. And again, I have conflicting feelings about the length of the movie. On the one hand, can a 2.5 hour slasher work? This movie answers the question. I think we're ready for that now because we're in an age where you can stream 10 hours of horror content. People are okay. I'm okay with the idea now.
Yep.
And it was an audacious idea. Do I feel like this movie particularly, they need an editor? Yeah, because Damien Leone, he's editing the stuff himself. And again, this is very audacious. It's very ambitious for the level they're working at. So I don't want to down it for that. But yeah, if this was an hour and a half movie, it would be hands down to me the best fucking slasher I could fucking imagine.
Yeah. You said it exactly. Can a slasher be 2.5 hours? Yes.
Yeah. And which is, I never thought it could.
Should this one have been? I don't think so. But
yeah.
As long as we're heading in that direction where that can exist
yeah.
and still be a very like tense. Because to me, it's like the tension gets let off too many times.
I agree.
Yeah,
and some of the scenes, they just go on a little too long, you know? I almost, again, like, not enough for me to fucking be pissed at the movie. But, yeah, in 2022, post-pandemic, again, in the streaming era, we're ready for 2.5-hour slasher movies. It's good to fucking find that out. It's yeah. kind of
supernatural slasher movies at that, which I think is a little good...
Fucking weird. It's I definitely think I think
slash be me more. Daddy.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't scissor me though.
It's because you were gross about it.
Here. Yeah. Ready?
Psych!
Yeah!
I thought you were gonna psych him.
No, he scissored me good. Damn, I like that. Rhett's my real friend.
You had to let him off.
See how fickle he is? Now I'm his real
now
friend.
He understands
that scissoring is the international sign of friendship.
Yeah, but we wouldn't scissor as hetero life mates.
Why? I mean, I'm trying to scissor right now, and you wouldn't do it
because I feel like that's less intimate.
You know what? What if we
just scissor me, daddy?
You know how usually
just scissor me, daddy.
Ladies scissor because they rub their clits together.
What
if we rub the clits of our dicks together?
I've
heard that's not even what this is.
I've heard that scissoring is not actually that like effective.
No, this is just the handshake. This is the
20%. What if we normalize heterosexual scissoring?
Yeah, I'm trying. George won't do it.
Gumming it up together, George. Like two ball sacks, just gumming up each other.
Well, and also scissor there's me, this daddy. Implication that when two women scissor, that means that they're lesbians or that they're bisexual. No, that's heterosexual scissoring,
and it should be allowed. Anywho, George, are we all done with Terrifier?
George,
all these scissor me, daddy.
No, scissor me.
Yeah, I think we're done with Terrifier too.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's going to start streaming on Screambox like any day now. But by the time this episode comes out, it will be.
Yeah. I'll probably watch it again at home.
It's expanding to 1,500 theaters.
You crazy maniacs.
Yeah.
You did that.
You absolute crazy bastards.
Trick or treat. All right, idiots. That's the Who Goes Our Podcast for episode 369. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us this morning.
Why are you so itchy?
What's next? Do we know? We don't know.
We gotta figure that shit out.
No idea.
It's always a bad place
to
be.
You know what they say about the youth, man. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett.
Bye, and I hate your fucking guts.
Oh, yeah. Good one. For old time's sake.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.